I'll be honest with you, this passage this week has been very heavy, and even this morning, I've just struggled, and I've tried to get away from it. I've been up in the fifth grade girls' Sunday school class playing some game with them to try and get away from it. I went to the first grade class and colored a picture to try and get away from it. And every time I'm alone, just the weight of this passage is so heavy. As we're singing, I just have been so broken in my own heart. And I'm praying that God will let me get this out this morning. So please pray for me. And look at Luke 22. And Luke 22, if you got a Bible, turn with me there. Please look at this with me. This sermon will not be long. We're going to start in verse 39. Luke 22. 39. Let me pray before we read. God, you're good. God, as we sing about the cross and that our debt has been paid and all our sins been wiped away, God, it's so heavy to think about how much you love us. God, and how rotten we are. And God, yet you love us. And Lord, when we look at this passage this morning and we see the Lord Jesus agonizing over what is about to take place in his life. God, I pray, Father, that you just give us a glimpse today. And God, I pray that we'd see our sin today the way you see it. God, I pray this morning, Father, as we've walked into this place and having a busy week and coming here, God, I pray, Father, that you would show up in this room. And God, those of us who are saved today by your grace, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would remind us of that grace that you poured out on our lives. And God, those in this place who have not been saved, God, I pray today would be the day, God, that you would pour that grace out on them. And God, I pray that each of us in this room, God, that we would not allow Satan to distract us from what your Holy Spirit would have for us today. God, move, teach us, convict us. And God, I pray that you'd revive us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." You know, there's a lot of messages in these few verses. And in fact, one that we could pull out, and in fact, one that I was very tempted to preach this morning was just one on prayer. And we see the Lord Jesus coming. And I tell you, if prayer is something that was vitally important to the Lord Jesus, it ought to be vitally important to us, right? And the Bible says here in Luke 22 that he went to a place that he was accustomed to. And so we see that in our own life, if the Lord Jesus spent time alone by himself communing with the Father in a place, there's a place for us to pray, right? We ought to have that place where we can get alone. And he took people with him. He had partners in prayer. And you and I, we're not to go into this relationship with Christ on our own. We're to fight this fight with each other, right? We're to pray with each other, for each other, all of those things. There's this posture we see in prayer. He kneels. The Lord Jesus kneels. And it's this submission, this posture of submitting to his Father in heaven, right? I mean, there's so much here about prayer, just teaching us how to pray and get alone and commune with the Father. I mean, there's a great, great message there in prayer. And then as he's praying, something very unique takes place. And an angel shows up in the garden. You know, just kind of speckled all throughout the scripture, we see God's beings, heavenly beings, angels. Not our loved ones who've died and received wings. That's not, our loved ones aren't angels. These are created beings, messengers of God. And they, we see them oftentimes in scripture, and they appear in a physical form. And in the scripture, there's an angel there protecting him with power, strengthening him. And I believe this, the agony that the Lord went through in the Garden of Gethsemane, I believe the angel came then to sustain him for the cross. When a body is in so much emotional agony that you sweat and your the water of your sweat and the capillaries in your body begin to burst over the stress and the anxiety, and you literally sweat water and blood, the Lord Jesus was at the brink of death in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, I think a lot of times we miss this, church, that he gets to that place where he knows that the cross is before him. And he's not scared to die. And God sends an angel to his side, and he is present with him. And you know what? I could have preached a whole message on angels. In fact, just this past week, the boys and I were driving home, and we began talking about angels and how they are around us, and that we don't go through life alone, and that God provides his messengers, and they're there with us, and they protect us. And there's oftentimes in our life, we never see them, but in when we got home, I said, open your Bible to 2 Kings 6, and we had this little Bible study about when Elisha is there, and the enemy is coming to attack, and he has a servant. And the enemy is all around the mountain, and the servant walks out, and he goes back into the prophet, and he said, there's chariots and horsemen all around us. And in 2 Kings 6, verse 17, Elisha prays, God, open his eyes that he might see. And the servant of the Lord walks back outside, and he looks at that mountain, and he sees chariots of fire all across that mountain. And Elisha said, there's more here for us than there is against us. And he saw the heavenly host and their presence all across that mountain. God, there's so many times in my life I was like, God, I know you're present. What a great message. We see the Lord Jesus, he's there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is agonizing. And God sends an angel there to protect him, to be present with him, and to provide power. And I'm going to tell you, if the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, needs that, you and I need that and need to be reminded of that, don't we? There's something, though, that I believe God has just pulled out a word out of this passage in my heart. And I think, you know, it would have been great to talk about prayer or angels. But I think the main point in this passage today is the cup. Y'all gotta pray for me. When the Lord Jesus prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, Lord, your will be done. Okay, God, Dad, if there's another way to redeem your creation, can we do that? That's what the Lord Jesus is praying. And let me make this very clear to you. Jesus was not afraid to die. This is not a weak moment that we find in the Lord Jesus. Jesus wasn't afraid of crucifixion. He wasn't afraid of the physical pain that his body was going to go through. In fact, the Bible tells us very clearly that nobody took his life. He laid it down for us. So he was willing all the way through to lay down his life, and he knew that his death, but that's not the cup. What is this cup? What are the contents in this cup? What is it that Jesus is praying, God, let this pass from me? Church, the thing that Jesus agonized over so much that morning or that day in that garden, that evening, really, was the sin that was in that cup. That filled that cup. It was the contents of that cup. Not the cross that he was agonizing over. It's what was in that cup. It was the poison of sin. I tell you, the thing that's overwhelmed my heart is looking into that cup and realizing it was my sin that was in that cup. It's your sin that's in that cup. I want to tell you, church, sometimes we get so comfortable and settled in our Christian life, we forget about our sin that was in that cup and what the Lord Jesus took when he drank the sin that was in that cup. Everyone in this room, the sin was in that cup. Everyone in this community, their sin was in that cup. All across the state of Louisiana, this nation and this world, past and present and future, the sin was in that. It wasn't death on the cross. It was consuming the sin. It was becoming sin that Jesus was agonizing over. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, listen to what it says. It says that he who knew no sin, he became sin, so that you and I could have the righteousness of God in Christ. That night in the garden when Jesus is in agony, realizing that in just a few hours he was going to drink that cup, that his righteousness was going to become sin for me, for you, and for all of this world. He was going to take the poison of sin in his body. Can I make a statement? I don't make wise statements, I promise. But I want you to write this down. The sin that Jesus consumed with great agony is that that you and I carry. With great arrogance. Church, the sin that Jesus consumed that day on the cross with great agony is the sin that you and I carry day after day after day with arrogance. Unconvicted arrogance. Walking in this life with pride, arrogantly living in our sin. It was that sin. My prayer is that God would show us our sin the way He sees it, not the way we see it. The contents of that cup, it was the poison of sin. But the contents of that cup brought punishment to the Lord Jesus. And the thing that He agonized most, it wasn't the scourging, it wasn't the stripes across His back, it wasn't them plucking His beard or spitting on Him or disapproving of Him or ridiculing Him. It wasn't that He was agonizing over in the garden. It was the punishment of sin. And He knew, watch, the contents of that cup had to be consumed. And when the contents of that cup were consumed, the punishment of sin was to be separated from His dad. It was to be separated from a Father that loved Him. And even in eternity past, they spoke about how to redeem sinful humanity, and the plan for redemption was that He would step out of heaven, that He would be clothed in skin, that He would go and He would have to die. The perfect would have to die for the imperfect. The godly would have to die for the ungodly. The righteous would have to die for the unrighteous. And God wrapped Himself in flesh and He sent Him here to this world to die on our behalf. And when He gets to the garden, He realizes what that means to consume the contents of that cup, to consume the poison of sin in His life meant that He would be separated from His Father's love. And that's why we see Him on the cross, right? Saying, my God, why have You forsaken Me? When the earth turns black in the middle of the day, when the Lord Jesus is giving His life for your sin and for mine, taking upon Himself our sin, becoming sin so that you can be righteous, He was separated from the love of God for the very first time. And He experienced something when He consumed that cup that day. He experienced the wrath of God's judgment. It wasn't the death. It wasn't the Roman soldiers. It wasn't the piercing pain of the nails. It wasn't the agonizing breaths of suffocating over on the crucifixion on that cross suspended between heaven and earth. That wasn't what He was agonizing over. He was agonizing over the fact that He would receive punishment, the wrath of God's punishment, so you didn't have to. So I didn't have to. And every drop of the wrath of God was consumed that day. And Jesus, in that moment, experienced an eternity of hell so you wouldn't have to. So you got to get this. In that moment on the cross, as the Lord Jesus consumed every ounce, every drop of sin, He became sin. He experienced an eternity, multiplied eternity of hell so that you wouldn't have to. God's wrath was poured out on Him so that God's grace could be poured out on us. I want you to see something. He consumed that cup so that he could have communion with you and with me. He took that sin, the contents of that cup, he consumed it completely. And that cup provides communion. In fact, sometimes we gather together, we have communion, we take the little cup, right? And it reminds us of that big cup of wrath that was poured out on the Lord Jesus so that you and I could receive grace and have a relationship, not religion. Jesus didn't do that so that you and I could buy into religion or join a church or get our name on a roll somewhere. He didn't die on the cross so that you could become a Baptist. He died on the cross for you to receive his righteousness. He consumed all of sin. He became sin for you. The perfect became sinful for us, so that we could have a relationship with him. And you know what's so sad, and I see it over and over, and I even see it in my own life, is that I take that relationship and I mold it down into a religion. And I say, out of this relationship, he wants me to do this, this, and this. And when I don't do that, I become guilty because I failed my religion rather than walked out on my relationship. There's times in my life I've become more Baptist than just a child of God walking in this life, broken over my sin, grateful for his grace, living this day in communion with him. Why? Because he makes that possible by consuming that cup. He makes a way for you and I who are rotten to have a relationship with his daddy who is righteous and holy. And it's all because of the cross. And church, my prayer this week, and I tell you, it's just been heavy on me, is, God, I don't want you to break me. I want, and I'm telling you, all week long, I haven't experienced that, and it's been quiet. And I've been in Colorado, and I've been encouraged. I've been with some guys that have just loved on me and encouraged me, and pastors, just friends of mine that we do. And I sat on a mountain and I prayed this prayer, God, break me, and it just seems like it's been silent all week long. This morning, I've been doing everything I can to run away from this. It's the heaviness. It's the conviction. And my sin's been so heavy on me this morning. My prayer is that it would be on all of us. Church, I tell you, we too often live our life comfortably sinning. Just going to church comfortably sinning. Oftentimes, the only difference between us and this world is where you are right now. It's not your language that's different. It's not your actions that are different. It's not how we see this world that's any different. We don't live this life with purpose often. We show up on Sunday morning to check off a box, so because we've become religious. Don't wake up yearning to have a relationship with Christ and digging in his word and pressing into the Holy Spirit. Although we know we're Baptists, we don't even talk about that. But pressing in, desiring more, living this life with a burden for this world. broken. Broken over our sin. I tell you, at the cross, our Savior died. At the cross, He was crucified, right? So you can be forgiven. All of that happened at the cross. And I don't have to carry the guilt of my sin anymore because grace has removed that. But I want you to know something. When I gave my life to Jesus, He didn't make me perfect. And I still walk in sin. But since I've been saved, I have managed to become comfortable walking in that sin. My prayer for me, my prayer for you is that God would break us over that sin that we've become so comfortable with. That sin that we have justified to ourselves. And this isn't hurting anybody. No. No, God, break our heart over that sin. God, break our heart over that sin of being indifferent and comfortable with our sin. Jesus took that cup and consumed the wrath of the Father in order to have communion with us, relationship with us. And in that cup, I hope this morning, my prayer is that we'll find not only that communion, but conviction, brokenness over our sin. This sermon's heavy on me. My prayer is it'd be heavy on all of us. And that we would allow the Holy Spirit just to deal with us today. I don't want it to be business as usual. I want this time for the Holy Spirit to deal with you. I'm going to ask you to do something. Close your Bible. Set it to the side. Ladies, don't take out your purse. Don't get ready to go. Let's stay until God shows up. Let's beg God today to do something in here. I think there's marriages that depend on God breaking us. I think there's families this morning that depend on God breaking us. I just believe this today, church. I just believe Jesus consumed that sin that we've become so comfortable with. And I just believe today God wants to break us. I want you to bow your head today. I want our ensemble to come up here. Musicians. I want our staff to come and lie in the front. Scotty, I want us to sing At the Cross, that song we sang a minute ago. I want to pray. And then I want you to respond. I'm going to pray that God's Spirit would fall on us and that we would feel the weight and heaviness of that sin that we've become so comfortable with. that God would break us for the things that we've allowed into our life that have drug us away from Him. If you need to be saved, in a moment when we're singing, you come to one of these pastors. If you need one of them to pray for you, you come. My goodness, come to this altar. I just want us to respond to the grace of the Lord Jesus. Listen to this verse. He who knew no sin, He became sin so that you could become the righteousness of God. Father, I pray in this moment, God, that You would show up. God, I pray in this moment, God, that You'd fill this place. God, I pray, Father, that You would break us. That You would start something in here today, God, that will restore us. God, never let us settle for just coming to this place and doing church. God, there's so many strongholds in this room that Satan has. God, I believe this. I believe there are men in this room, Father, they're addicted to pornography. God, I believe there are individuals in this room, Father, they're addicted. They're abusing so many things. God, I pray, Father, for strongholds to be broken. God, there are marriages in this room, Father, that are falling apart. God, I pray, Father, for Your brokenness. Move in us. Father, we love You. Let's sing, Brother Scotty. If you want to stand and sing, stand and sing. If you want to come to the altar, you come. Whatever it is that God's leading you to do, you come this morning and you respond to Him.